This is Steve Sherlock with another internet radio show or podcast number 177 in the series for Franklin Matters. This recording shares the candidate interview with current candidate for town council Ted Cormier Ledger. Conducted in the studios of Franklin TV and radio, this is a product of the collaboration with the local cable and radio operations.
Steve Sherlock here in the Franklin studio with Ted Cormier Ledger, candidate for town council. Thank you for coming into the studio, Ted.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
We'll start, as I mentioned before recording, we've got some crowdsourced questions. We'll review those, have a discussion. The first one kind of get into your background in a different way. There are many opportunities to volunteer in the community with a number of groups. Have you taken advantage of any of those? And if so, which ones? And why did you choose those?
Yes, it's a great question. I do believe in giving back to the community. So pretty shortly after we moved to Franklin, an opportunity presented itself within my neighborhood association, where the lady that had been the president was stepping down after about 8 years, and someone needed to step up. So I decided to take that on, and that has been a lot of fun. It basically, all of the neighbors, there's about 60 households in our neighborhood association that reach out to me if they've got concerns in the neighborhood, or they look to us to plan different activities and events for the families. We did a big 50th anniversary party last January at alumni that I put together. We had a police concern just the other day, so I had to work with Officer Trubiano on getting that resolved and making sure that the neighbors were aware of the police presence and what the problem was. So doesn't take up a huge amount of my time, but it's very seasonal. Like, I'll put more time in around the holidays and perhaps less time in like the dead of winter, but it's also been a lot of fun, very rewarding, and it's been a great way to meet everyone in my neighborhood and make sure that my kids know everybody in the neighborhood. So it's a very tight-knit group.
Similar to kind of, I guess, with your neighbor, and it's certainly not a plug for Franklin Matters, but where do you get your news about Franklin?
So I think I get most of my news about Franklin. If it's not word of mouth, then it's definitely through the different feeds on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Staying on top of those as best I can. Certainly reading the emails that come from the town also, and directly from the school. My kids go to Kennedy. They're really great about communication to parents on any number of issues. So, and then I think the kind of old school, just getting the pamphlets that get sent home, right? And
sure.
all of the paper, you know, just yes. Trying to find the time to go through all of that and know exactly what's going on at the school. But on a broader sense with the town, it seems to be mostly Facebook.
So rather than reading the full text of the question, the bottom line effectively is there's certainly a concern that some people have private wells, and clearly everybody who gets the town water, we're all drawing from the same aquifer.
Right.
A couple of years, if you remember, we had the severe drought, and there was a lot of conversations around should we restrict, can we restrict the private wells as well? Thoughts on that situation? Hopefully it won't come again, but in case it did.
Yeah, and I think it's challenging, certainly, to tell private homeowners that they can't access water from their own well that they paid a lot of money to put in, for whether it's drinking water or for their outside needs. But I think in the case of a drought, as long as it was explained to people what the issue was, I think we would be hard-pressed to say to find people that wouldn't understand in a drought situation.
Mm-hmm.
I think in the situation like this summer, where it was not a drought, it was simply a distribution problem because of, you know, various infrastructure challenges and the fire and things like that. I think we heard some pushback from homeowners, because they basically said, well, that's why we have a well, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have a well so that we don't have to rely on
sure.
those distribution systems. And, you know, they want to have a nice lawn. They want to have control over the drinking water. So I think, you know, non-drought versus drought are kind of two different scenarios, but I do think the town council and town administration can play a role in that as long as communication is at the forefront and that it's clear to folks what's going on. I think sometimes there might be a lot of people getting misinformation, so I think we have to sort of do a better job of streamlining that.
Mm-hmm. Related to that, what degree of development do you think is appropriate for Franklin, and how would you balance the need for affordable housing with the need to avoid congestion?
I think growth is good in the sense that I think if we are able to have people live here and thrive here, raise a family here, build a business here, those are all good things. I think in order to welcome more people to our great town, we have to consider infrastructure. Do we have the adequate schools, roads, water distribution systems, the sewer systems, the police and fire? Are all of those things in check with a growing population? I think many people right now would say mm-hmm. some of those things are slightly off balance, right, whereas some things have kept up fine. I think 40B solutions, low-income housing solutions, those are all great ways to make sure that Franklin is an affordable place for everyone. And I would just work with, whether it's local officials, state officials, to make sure that those ratios, especially the mandatory ratios, are kept up, and to talk with developers to see if there's opportunity for something additional. I think where we're hearing people concerned right now about 40B is when they don't understand who that is. Like who does that mean? Does that mean we're going to get a group of people with, you know, drug dependency issues and they're concerned about their children? Mm-hmm. Or does that simply mean, no, it's a family just like everybody else that have different income thresholds, sure, and we need to make sure that they can have a place to live here too? I think it's all education, and I think it's like with the water issue, it's all about communication and making sure that people understand. I'm a big believer in affordable housing, and I'm a big believer in making Franklin welcome to everyone. So I would, definitely make that a priority.
Next question in regards to potential budget issues, and we seem to be having them on a somewhat frequent basis recently, but more so next year at least. Mm-hmm. It's potential that we may need to consider an override. Mm-hmm. What's your thoughts on that?
I think whatever override is deemed necessary, I would be in favor, of course, of putting it before the town for a vote by the taxpayers, because ultimately that's not my decision. I think that's everyone's decision. But before I would propose an override, I would want to make sure that we're doing everything to the best of our ability to live within our means. I think we are stewards of the money that taxpayers give us, mm-hmm. whether in the nonprofit world, those are donations. In the town administration and city administration, you're dealing with tax dollars, but it's still other people's money.
Right.
Your money might be rolled in a little bit, but you are responsible to make the best possible decisions with the money that's been trusted to you. So there is no room for waste. There's no room for unnecessary spending. And I'm not saying that Franklin does that, but I'd want to look at the big picture and then say, okay, if we do in fact need an override, what's it being earmarked for? I would not be in favor of just a general override that's then figured out later. I would want us to say, okay, if it's $7 million, which is the number I'm hearing for the water, to really bring the water issue up to par, then okay, then we're going to ask the taxpayers for $7 million then, and we're going to earmark it for the water. If it's for something else, like maybe I've heard we might need to add a position to the fire department, say for, an extra paramedic, I'd want to outline that and make sure that mm-hmm. people understood. And then also hold everybody accountable, myself included, right?
Sure.
If that's what we promised, then that's what we have to deliver.
Last question, potentially. For the standard voter approaching you, what would you be your answer to say, why should I vote for you? It's always a good question.
It's a good question. I'm an honest, regular, approachable guy who is a dad, who's a husband, who's a business owner, who is also willing to listen. I have prided myself over my 25-year career in the nonprofit world of bringing people together of all walks of life, all backgrounds, all incomes, all ages, to get the job done. And I've managed budgets of multi-million dollars for properties and for camps. I've had to make tough decisions that weren't always popular, but they were what's best. And like I alluded to before, much of the money I've worked with has been donations over the years in the nonprofit world. And I felt like everyone knew if they were giving a donation to me that I was going to spend it correctly and I was going to report back and be honest with it. And I would do the same with people's tax dollars here. I also think it's important where we seem to have a lot of discussion right now about our schools and, you know, whether it's Davis Thayer or the opposition to school time issues or just different things coming up with the schools, that I'm in that now with an 8-year-old and an 11-year-old at Kennedy. I'm going to be in the public education system for a while.
Yep.
So I have not only my own kids to look out for, but also everyone else's kids to look out for. And I think that having that perspective is important right now.
And this is an opportunity, too, if you'd like one or the other to add something to that.
Sure. So maybe my oldest boy, Charlie, would like to say something. Charlie, why don't you tell everybody, why do you love Franklin?
Well, I like Franklin because, I get to play tackle football with my friends. And and also because, it's a safe town and nothing's really going to happen.
So is that formal football, Franklin Youth Football?
So...
Or Pop Warner, I'm sure.
It is. Well, they don't call it Pop Warner anymore, but it used to be called Pop Warner. And on the youth 4th and 5th graders Franklin Panthers team.
Good. Excellent.
Good job, buddy. Good job.
And now my 8-year-old, his name is Jaden. Jaden, maybe we'll ask you a different question. Why don't you tell everybody, did you like our field trip the other day over to the Franklin Fire Department?
I did because for school and I want to get good grades and I just want to be a good student for school and I would like to try to do my best on my schoolwork. Like when I have tests, it can sometimes be hard, but I just try as hard as I can. I'm never going to give up. Now that I like the fire station so much, I like to go to the fire station a lot, but my dad's usually they don't have time to. But if it's for school, then they usually just will.
Oh yeah. My youngest would like me to warn you to please not speed down the streets in Franklin because the police are really cracking down on that, and we want to keep children and pets safe. Yeah. I think,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jay. That's a great public service reminder.
Absolutely. a necessary reminder, especially when schools are in, but even more so when schools are out.
Sure.
Because then kids can be out on the roads, on your bikes, playing ball. Maybe the ball goes into the street and you start running out. And if they don't see you.
I guess one final thing that I didn't mention before that I do think is important is that I don't just have Franklin in mind when I think about my day-to-day actions. I really think about Massachusetts. I think about New England. This has always been home. I grew up in Medford, Mass. We lived in Norwood, Stoughton, Dedham. We moved our family here to Franklin a couple of years ago. So I really do understand the challenges of being a New Englander.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the great things that make us New Englanders also, but certainly, you know, just understanding you know, some of those things that affect us each and every day here that might be different than in other parts of the country. I want to take those into account when we think about local government.
This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but I can't do it alone. I can always use your help. How can you help? Overall, if you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like this, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements, and I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy.